B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the development here, Dustin Pedroia is out of the ball game, and Eduardo Nunez has to go in at second base. Petey moments ago flying out routinely to right field, but Jerry, he is out of the game.
Yeah, we don't want to speculate, but you have to imagine it's probably something with the knee. He had the one at bat flying out, and then immediately Nunez comes out to take over at second base this inning. So we'll wait and see if we get any word from the Red Sox clubhouse.
That was on the broadcast on Nesson last night. Dustin Pedroia had to leave the game. You know, there's no victory laps on this one. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the I told you so because I think everyone thought this day was going to come. And here we are.
The problem was we laughed at the 125 and they kept trying to roll that out.
Such a joke.
And they get rid of Hanley Ramirez because Dustin was coming back last year. It's almost like, here we go. It's like deja vu. It's like repeat.
Shaughnessy writes today in the Globe. The headline being, is this the end for Dustin Pedroia?
The article's written 2 years too late.
He writes, are we nearing the end for Dustin Pedroia? No one takes any pleasure in this prospect, but there was a sense of doom and gloom when Pedroia was taken out of the lineup after flying to right field in the top of the second inning Wednesday night at Yankee Stadium. It was the first game Pedroia had started in the field since Friday at Fenway against the Orioles. His left knee has not come around the way the Red Sox hoped. He says, perhaps even more telling, Pedroia had left the building when the Red Sox opened up after the loss. Alex Cora after the game. Let's play Alex Cora's comments after the game. Here it is.
In the first swing of that at bat, the one he fouled off to right field, whatever, he felt something weird in his knee. You know, he finished it back. He came up to me. He's like, hey, man, didn't feel right there. So decided to take him out. He'll see the doctor tomorrow and see where we at. You know, and like I said, you know, he was also feeling, you know, ill, you know, what's going on right now. So that's why he took off. He's not like he's hiding from people. So, yeah, we'll know more tomorrow.
How concerned are you?
I mean, you know, we'll see. You know, for him to come up to me and tell me how he felt, you know, obviously, I know a lot of people think that he's going to push and not be smart about it. He understands where he's at and how he felt. So I got to do what I have to do to take care of the player. You know, I was surprised that he came up to me and told me that. But at least he was honest. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know, I really don't know. I'm just he was a little bit down. He was down, you know, and I haven't seen him like that. So hopefully it's nothing serious. And, you know, it's something that he just got scared, you know, but we'll know more tomorrow.
Listen to everything he said. Alex Cora is telling you that Dustin Pedroia was distraught last night and
sick about it.
He was physically feeling ill because emotionally it was so much to handle that he was distraught and he needed to leave the park, which, as Shaughnessy writes, is highly unusual for Dustin Pedroia to leave the park. As we know, he had cartilage surgery in his knee. Microfracture surgery. They're trying to put that thing back together, and it hasn't worked to this point. And so before this had even played out last night with Cora telling everybody that Pedroia needed to leave because he just, you know, was feeling the way that he was feeling, that before that had even happened, Shaughnessy had posted this column before the game was over. It has since been updated at bostonglobe.com. But this part happened in game. And when I read it, I thought one thing, and I'll read it to you. He wrote, Jerry Remy knows a thing or two about career-ending knee injuries. Remy had 11 knee surgeries during his 10-year career and had to hang it up in the spring of 86. And he shared his conversation that he had with Dustin Pedroia. Remy told Shaughnessy last night, I'm concerned. Anytime you have to step off the field, you've got to be concerned about it. This is something that nobody's ever been through before. It's trial and error. And when you see a guy play for a few days and then cut it back and then see this, I'm concerned. And then Remy told Shaughnessy of a conversation he had with Pedroia walking into the stadium yesterday. Remy said, Pedroia asked me, are there certain surfaces you have problems walking on?
Oh, my God.
And I said, yeah, some hard surfaces. And he said, yeah, I've got a floor in my house I have to have changed because it bothers me. Remy added, at the end of my career, I couldn't move anymore. I knew going to spring training that I was done. And how old is, I'm going to look this up real quick. How old is Jerry Remy?
Right now or when he was done?
Right now.
He's got to be what, 70?
He's 66.
Yeah.
Jerry Remy is 66 years old. And Dustin Pedroia asks Jerry Remy, walking into the ballpark yesterday, Jerry, your knees bother you? Because you know why he's asking him that?
Because mine are bugging me.
Because my knee hurts, and I want to know if it's going to hurt like hell when I'm your age.
He wants to know if it's going to hurt him for the rest of his life.
I want to know if this is the new normal for me.
Yeah. Right.
And the more I try and play on this, what's that new normal going to be for me? And I thought, as soon as I read that, before even hearing that he was so distraught that he had to leave the stadium before the game ended last night, I thought to myself, Pedroia thinks he's done. Pedroia thinks it's over.
Yeah, I play with two
guys. He's not asking a guy who just recently retired or someone that is a peer, age peer. No, he's asking a guy who's 66. How does your knee feel every day when you get up in the morning?
I play with
two
guys.
Because I want to know what that's going to be like for me.
Two guys both had knee replacement surgery, but they had bone on bone. Both linemen. You know, different. I mean, heavier guys. But it gets to the point where you pinch so much of that cartilage, and they've tried it all, tried the regenerative stuff where, you know, Curtis Martin had the one too, where they drill in and they're trying to put stem-type cells inside the bone to sort of regenerate some cartilage, and the viscous shots, you know, just trying to ease that bone on bone. And that's gravel knee. That's where they talk about, you know, we have to walk on our toes on certain surfaces. Exactly what he's talking about. You know, where you can't pound because you don't want the knee to lock, or you don't want to feel it slide or pin something in there. We got to, you know, it's like walking on your toes across the room because you just want to tippy toe. You want to glide. He's asking Remy that going in against, oh man. This ain't good. Not good. I'm not going to sit here and take pokes and make fun of a little leader and stuff. And I know we've done that before, but you never want to see a guy end it this way. Never.
No, but honestly, I mean, I think now when you think about all the knee issues that this guy has,
it's time.
You know, down the road in life, he's going to be like the perfect candidate to have a knee replacement done.
Oh, totally.
Right? I mean,
totally.
And he'll live a higher quality of life as a result of
that. You're going to be, and they're totally fine by it. They can't play ball, obviously. This is post playing days. But yeah, you move on it. You have no pain. You're free of pain, and you know you're not waking up putting ice packs or frozen peas on your knees and throwing them back in the freezer every day. That's what they were doing, popping Advil left and right.
But asking Jerry Remy about how he feels is a guy who's thinking about, what is my life going to be when I'm done doing this? What's it like after I'm done? What's this knee going to hold up like for me? I think he's done. I think it's over, and I think he probably knows it's over, and I think that's probably why he was so upset last night at Yankee Stadium. This is the end of the road.
I think this was the one time where he said, I'm going to give it one more go. You know, that whole year. And we kept asking, you know, why is he here? Or why did they send him away last year?
And he spent nearly a year doing that.
Why does he want to be around the team? And then he's back, and he's around for the playoffs, and he's there through the stretch run, and he's around the team at the World Series. And they talk about his leadership, and they talk about, this spring training, and I remember him standing there saying, they're afraid, they're scared. They're scared to put me out there. I'm ready to go. He wasn't ready to go. They knew it. The team knew it. The GM knew it 2 years ago. He sat at a press conference, said, he's got a bad knee, a chronic knee, which is not going to get better. He said that publicly. Imagine what it is privately.
Yeah, he still didn't sign a second baseman this year, though.
He got other issues.
He used Pedroia when he needed to use him because he didn't sign a second baseman, saying he could play 120 games when 2 years ago he knew he was pretty much done.
We laughed when we heard 120, 125. Everybody laughed. Nobody pounded the over on that one. Nobody. Nobody pounded the over on 100. Did you have any expectations this guy would play 100 games?
No, none.
None.
Zero.
Zero. We
so
laughed
when
at it.
When it comes to Pedroia, if this is the end, listen, I know you've always, you know, you've jumped on the little leader thing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's just having fun.
You know, you and Pedroia blocked you on Twitter that time.
That's sensitivity.
We've ripped him plenty of times. You know, what was his role in the Eckersley thing on the plane?
All that.
Of it.
Yeah.
No one enjoys seeing a guy go out like this.
Zero. No. I talked to Jim about it. You know, people say what they want about Gronkowski. You know, your body feels different, your head. I just don't have the legs, the knee, the back. That guy walked out on top. Nobody wants to see a guy like this walk out the way you're trying to sort of fizzle out. And granted, that sport's different.
I give him credit, though.
Money.
He's going kicking and screaming.
He's getting the money regardless. See, people are like, well, get him out of here. He's getting paid regardless. what he does with the knee.
He gets all his money.
It's a credit to him for actually wanting to play. I give him credit for
it. Yeah, if this is what ends his career, he still gets all the money.
Yeah.
So
it's not about the money, people. Like, people, no, it's about him wanting to feel good.
He's not thinking about money, asking if he's got to change floors in his house.
Yeah, no, it ain't about money for him. It wouldn't be about
money.
Depends
how much a florist, Jim. You have nice floors. Right, you could call 1-800-GET-CARPET, or you could go and get some nice stuff.
Yeah. It hasn't been about money at any point. The guy, we know what kind of guy he is in terms of his competitiveness. That's always been evident, regardless of what you've thought of some of the things he said at times over the years, or whether or not he was really a leader at times over the years. But this guy fought like hell to try and get back. I mean, how do you not respect that about him? Fought like hell for no other reason other than he loves baseball, and he loves playing baseball. It's what he wants to do. And it looks like it's not going to continue. So we'll obviously get some more definitive word in the coming days. He's in New York. He's going to see the doctor there. But I don't expect this to be a positive outcome for him or the team.
He's got to figure out what it is before he could stand there and face people. I don't hesitate for 1 second or be critical of him not being there after the game. Of course, right. He had to get out of here.
I don't care about that.
The kid's sick about it. He got to figure out what's wrong, get his thoughts together, and figure out what he wants to do before he faces anybody. Yeah.
The Red Sox.
I actually feel bad for him. I do.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't feel something for him, but you know what? They should have put him back on the injured list. I want to call it the DL so badly.
Then just call it
that. They should have put him back on the injured list a week ago or three or four days ago and then not DFA'd Blake Swihart.
What's the exemption that they could use on him? Is there one like, you know, the NFL has non-football injury list or. You know, like the Josh Gordon says, is there something you could use with Pedroia? No.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know.
You just put him on the injured
list. I'm just trying to clear.
Insurance might pay his contract, but it's not.
I'm just thinking if it's done, but you keep him. I don't know. I got
to
look into it.
All right, let's get back to your calls on Dustin Pedroia, Bruins, Celtics. Also, the latest on the Robert Kraft case later this hour. All of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub app. Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
0-2 coming, and a shot to right. That's deep. That's back. That is gone. Gardner with a grand slam. The Yankees on top, 5-3.
Oh, yeah, that happened last night, too. Red Sox bullpen stinks. It's the truth about that bullpen. And even though they've done nothing well this season, this team, they haven't hit well, they haven't pitched all that well, there is one thing that I did not think they would do well coming into it, and that is that their bullpen would just be mediocre at best. And that was on full display last night. Their bullpen's not that good.
Is this going to force them to go get Kimbrel? Not that you, I mean, you got to be up to close. So.
They're not getting kicked.
No. But did that ball get out? I'm not sure. I couldn't tell by the crack of that bat.
I mean, it made it to the front row.
I mean, it was an 0-2 fastball right down the freaking pipe. 0-2 fastball meatball. A rod back. Oh! Give me it again. Brett freaking Gardner.
Ryan Brazier.
How's Krabbe
giving it up last night? He's not doing well.
He's going to be losing his mind. Oh, no capital letter tweets. That's what's good about this.
But you get 6 innings out of your starter last night, Nathan Eovaldi. The starting pitching starting to come around. And the fact that the Red Sox, before last night's game, were 6-12, they just can't really afford for your starter to give you 6 good innings.
That was your worst
nightmare. And then you freaking fall apart in the late innings because your bullpen is crap.
It's one thing when your starting pitcher isn't working, you know it's going to eventually come around. These guys find themselves once they get through the rotation a couple times. I know they got a late jump on it in spring training and all that. But the one thing, when you dig a hole, and you said this a week ago, when you start looking at, okay, how many games below 500 are you? Where it becomes problematic for you is when you get good starting pitching and then that bullpen blows it. Now, there's another loss. Now you're 6-13. You're 700 now. Is it 6-13?
6-13.
Jesus. That does not sound good. Like, it takes you a while to chase 7, to close a gap of 7. Whew. 7 under 500. Still feels like it's the first month of the season, which it is.
It is right? The first month of the
Jesus.
Season. Yes. Not for all that much longer, though.
It's like hell.
And I just think that this continues to snowball. This is bad.
When did they lose their 9th game last year? Was it like May 8th? May 9th?
Oh, it was middle of May.
Jesus.
Yeah. Middle of May last year. I can tell you the exact date if you want it, but it's...
That's a ding-dong tracker. You got one, right?
You know,
what's his name? Jack one? Martinez?
Yeah, him and Vasquez.
He and Vasquez. Anybody got Vasquez?
No one has Vasquez.
Who's got Martinez?
Oh. You do. You had the first overall pick.
Cocky.
Act like you're some kind of savant.
I do.
They say, who's got Aaron Rodgers in fantasy football?
You idiots didn't want him. No, first pick.
It's now a 9-4-2. But you know what? This who jacked it contest is not going to be any fun unless the Red Sox actually start winning some games. The Red Sox need to get their crap sorted
Someone
out.
Someone should tell, like, Devers and Jackie Bradley Jr., it's fun to jack it. You should go out there and do it. Help you win some ball games.
He's got Jackie Bradley Jr.
Look at that. 2 goose eggs up there.
How would you ever pick Bradley Jr.?
I thought...
I can understand Bogarts and Devers. Like,
I thought he was due for
Devers. Devers got power.
I thought he was due. Or a big year.
Due for what?
He's been due for nine years. I was picking third.
Nine.
The 13th loss of the 2018 season for the Red Sox came on Monday, May 14th in Oakland. Oh, no, at home against Oakland. They moved to 28-13 on May 14th. That's when they hit 13 losses, but they had 28 wins at the time, which would be 22 fewer wins than what they've got now.
My kid's on the Athletics.
Excuse me.
He's very excited.
22 more wins than what they've got now. They've got 22 fewer at this moment.
Wow.
Yeah, 28-13 is what they were.
Nearly a month.
Oh.
And they don't have a second baseman because Nunez is hurt.
Oh, they got Vasquez.
Baseball.
They're gonna have to call up Lynn. That's the obvious move. It may have even happened by now. They get good starting pitching last night and then they blow it. They melt down in the late innings. Because Ryan Brazier may have just been a one-year guy. May have just been a guy who had a good year last year.
Did you see that play Pierce made on first base? I don't know if you saw it. There were runners on second and third. Pierce, there's a ball, a rocket hit right between first and second.
Mm-hmm.
He dives and makes it almost all the way over to second base, snags it. Eovaldi covers it, and there's two outs at the time. The game would have been tied. He saved 2 runs right there. Like, it would have been even worse getting your ass kicked.
But the Red Sox appear to be in a little bit of trouble here.
Yeah.
Because we keep saying, the more days going by. It doesn't feel like things are getting better for them. It feels like things are getting worse, even though their starting pitching has started to come around.
I'd send the Celtics and the Bruins edible arrangements, like right now, because it's sort of kept them on the back burner. I know you had the home opener last week. And
right.
Yankee series. Yankees really don't have all their guns. So it's tough to really look at that and say, okay, it's a true Red Sox-Yankee matchup. And we'll see.
Paul's in Salisbury. Paul.
How you doing? Just trying to make a comment on what Pedroia's going through, because I just had 2 hip replacements over the last six weeks, because I was bone on bone. And basically it is exactly what he said it is. When it's you're walking on really hard surfaces, you're a mess. So it's he better really think about this going forward for his quality of life.
And I think he is, and that's why I think he's probably going to call it quits on his own. Would you be surprised if in the next week there's a press conference being called that Pedroia says, I'm done, I can't play anymore?
No, I hope it is. I mean, I think that's smart for him, and I think that's the best thing for him. I think it's just going to get progressively worse based on what Dombrowski said. Watching this guy suffer, do you want to watch him hobble around? Do you want to watch him protect a knee and try and just get through? He's not a get-through type of guy. He's a grinder, you know? His whole game's predicated on extreme effort. I don't want him, you know, playing at 80%. He's not a good player at 80%.
It's like Edelman trying to play at 80%.
No.
He can't just walk through some plays. Like
we were in Denver, and I see Edelman starting to hobble after they got the foot fixed. Remember he had a nice game against Kansas City?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's hobbling like, they're done. Cooked.
Joe's in the truck. Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Joe.
Hey, man. What's up, Joe?
What's up?
I got wind of something the other day that said if the Red Sox stay on this pace, they'll lose 108 games.
Maz had that tweet. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. If that should happen, which I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, probably
Alex
won't.
Cora get a pass just because he won the World Series on this?
So are you asking if his job is in danger?
If he loses 108 games?
No, it's not in danger. It won't be. Do you think it will be if they lose? Let's say that happens, right? It's not going to happen, but let's say it does. They lose 100 games this year. Is he fired?
No.
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 He's not.
Boy, didn't that say something?
He'd have to do that twice to get fired.
They missed the playoffs again the following year?
Yeah, then you're gone.
Then you're gone. Yeah.
Then you're known as Barry Switzer. Just walked in and 1-1 because the team was so good. And then you got fired.
We did it our way, didn't we?
We did it our way, didn't we? You said we had team meeting at 9. Shoot, I got 9:45. The hell am I? Sorry I'm late, guys.
They lost 100 games. That's a 46-game difference from last year. That's insane.
It's... They're not gonna lose 108 games. They're not gonna lose 100.
Just if they lose 100, it's a 46 game difference.
They're not gonna lose 100 games.
Stan in Medfield on the Red Sox. Hi, Stan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Gresh, you have got me rolling, man. Sitting here telling me that the starting pitching is coming around. What, after Nathan Eovaldi goes out there and actually pitches a one-run game against a Triple-A Yankee team that's on there, except for
three Price
starters.
Was good the other day. Eovaldi was good last
Price
night.
Was good. He finally pitched a game. And then Porcello's still doing what? What's his ERA? 11, 12? And then you got Sale, who can't do anything right now. I'm not going to be surprised if we have the Porcell blow year this year from him. And then you're going to sit there and have Sale, who's we don't even know. His arm might be starting to go to garbage because he wasn't feeling too hot at the end of last year.
Sale improved his ERA the other night. He only gave up 4 runs in 5 innings.
Yeah, true.
That lowered his ERA.
He actually improved it by only giving up 4 runs in 5. What do you take off? Like a sixth of a point or something like that?
Trending in the right direction.
Yeah, trending in the right direction. I mean... All right, if you guys, let's talk out to Tampa Bay, and if you sit here and you still think the team is actually, the starting pitcher is starting to turn around when they go against that team, you're not going against, a Yankee team put up 13 runs, and that team is 6 out of 9 players being from AAA or the bench. Give me a break.
You know what the silver lining in all this is?
So I guess the starting pitching was bad last night?
You know what the silver lining is? Angry Red Sox fans. Haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
It's nice. Like angry Red Sox fans. Didn't get it hardly at all last year. What'd you have to be angry about? What was that? Somebody step on a duck?
That was mine. Yeah. That one's mine.
Didn't get enough of it.
Coming back.
They won 108 games last year.
Yeah, that's right.
What the hell was there to be angry about?
Nobody was angry. They're angry now. Red Sox. A little sad. A little sad and a little angry. I like it.
Price pitched well the other day against a bad team. But what is that his fault?
That going for you.
Is that his fault?
I get that going for you.
He pitched 7 scoreless innings. That means he wasn't pitching better? Sale did pitch better despite giving up the runs. And last night, the bullpen blew the game.
Imagine if this lingers for another month. Not lingers, but say they struggle to get the 500 by Memorial Day.
Yeesh. And the point is, you're not good enough right
now. Getting dug enough.
Good starts, and that's exactly what they did last night. They blew it. They got a good start, and they fell apart in the late innings. Fell apart. I'm just looking to cling to something right now for this team.
No, that's why I don't think they're going to lose 108 games. I think the starting pitching and you can only play you can play. And Eovaldi didn't go out there and allow three or four runs last night. No, he went and did what you're supposed to do against a lineup like the Yankees put out there last night. The one run over six innings, handed over to the bullpen, which up until this point the bullpen hasn't been the problem. So, okay, last night, that's a bit of an anomaly. I think the starting pitching will come around, and I think they'll start to hit a little bit better. I don't think they're going to turn it around and have some outstanding season after this, but it's not going to be a complete and total disaster of a season.
Nathan Eovaldi's lineups that talent. He has faced, Seattle, Oakland, Toronto, New York. Three out of the four blow. Okay? That's just facing the facts, but his latest one was
good. At least he didn't face Baltimore.
So you say it was good. And there's a question about how much work these guys actually did in spring training, which it appears was
well, then not. That's on the manager and the pitching coach, then.
Yeah, it's on the manager.
It's time to start some heat. Turn up the heat.
They could use a pitching coach right now. What is the pitching coach doing? What is Daniel Evangi doing right now with the pitchers?
Might be flat ground.
How's it look? How does the pitching look? How does everything look? 617-779-0985. The latest on the Robert Kraft situation, we talked about it yesterday when the prosecutors came out and said they were going to release that tape ASAP. Yeah, you might want to pump the brakes on that one. There were some motions back and forth yesterday. We'll discuss next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Update now on the prostitution case involving New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft. A Florida judge has issued a temporary protective order that blocks the release of hidden camera video from inside the spa. The decision was announced after prosecutors in the case said that they intended to release that video. Final decision on the tape will be made April 29th. Kraft has pleaded not guilty to two counts of solicitation at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida.
T.J. Quinn of ESPN has done a lot of reporting on this case. Yesterday, we got that filing from the prosecutors that they were going to release the tape ASAP. T.J. Quinn reported shortly after that Robert Kraft's attorneys just filed a motion to stop the release of video evidence from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Prosecutors indicated yesterday they plan to release it ASAP as part of the case against the woman who ran the spa. Kraft's motion seeks to intervene and stop it. And then a few hours later, he tweeted, "This has been a bonkers day in the Robert Kraft case." Bonkers. He wrote, "After prosecutors said they intended to release the video evidence as soon as possible, Kraft and a John Doe filed a motion to intervene and block it. A judge just ordered that the state may not release the evidence until there is a hearing." Kraft's attorneys are now accusing the Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office of prosecutorial misconduct and breaking a promise made on Friday not to release the evidence until a judge okays it.
I thought it was the law yesterday that they had to. The deadline's coming. We got to get this thing out. Jesus.
He says, beyond the obvious that Kraft and other defendants don't want the embarrassment of a videotape circulating, the video is the state's strongest leverage. If it's suppressed or sealed, then there's little incentive for Kraft to accept a deal short of total dismissal. That's what he said. That's T.J. Quinn's reporting on the matter yesterday on Twitter at T.J. Quinn ESPN.
Okay, so...
so now, no tape.
No tape. Let's look at sort of the timeline here. Really, I mean, he went to the owner's meetings. You got shots of he and Jonathan walking in and out, head down, doing business. And then he's there at the Celtics game on Sunday where he got a longer cheer than Larry Bird did. He's feeling pretty good right
now. Did you know how to time it?
No, but yeah, I...
You did your stopwatch
on? No, I didn't.
Were you there?
A'Sherrod Blakely was on with Tutcher and Rich, and he said, oh, yeah. Both cheers were exactly as loud for each other. They did Larry first, then they did Robert. He said the Robert one was double Larry's as far as likes. So,
well, what did you think? Robert Kraft was never going to go out again?
No, I know that, but that's a soft landing, right? It's Celtics fans, and there he is. He's with Wick. Your team's winning. It's a playoff game. You're going to go nuts. It's Boston. Yeah. But I think he and everybody down there are starting to feel pretty good about this. We're okay. Things are looking up.
Based on what?
That ain't not my lawyers, pal. I mean, they just stopped this yesterday. We're sitting here reading stuff that, oh, it's Florida law. I mean, we got to put this tape out. You can't break the law. You're up against it. You're
by the way, there's no knowing what the judge will rule on the matter right when it does get to the hearing.
What if it never gets to the hearing? I don't know.
I just don't think there's anything to feel good about.
Sox pitching is coming around, right? Like Beatles said, the Red Sox starting pitching starting to come around.
Like David,
that type
David,
of feeling good. David like you're Price, already in a bad place.
No, David Price is functioning. Gresh said that.
Gresh,
that's right. That's right. Right. You're already in a bad place. Then you're starting to feel better.
7-7-9.
The Gresh and Drew show. I just don't think there's anything to feel good.
I don't have a text line to grind on.
Here's what you could feel good about. Turns out it wasn't him.
You started it.
The guy they stopped.
I didn't start it. The caller started.
You started. You just started Jim, what you just started.
Jim just did it too.
You just said text line.
I totally
you said
let it
text
go.
Line.
I let it go. Jim brought it up.
I brought what up?
You called him Gresh.
No, I didn't.
The caller did.
But you just brought it back up.
I didn't. Beatles the one who said it.
Yeah, I did. I brought it back up.
Oh, sorry.
And you threw the text line thing in though. I didn't put that in there. You didn't. I was like, sorry about that.
My bad.
All right, but no, Hardy,
drop
you're
it.
Right.
There's nothing to feel good about.
Let me retract that. Not feel good. What is the word? I don't even know.
Hopeful? Hopeful that it's not going to be a complete effing disaster?
I think they've got a good case.
I think they got their ducks in line.
They probably do at this point.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that what we really
pretty much poked holes in the whole thing?
Didn't we say that, though, a month ago? We were saying, all right, you get the high-priced attorneys, you get out of it legally, good for you. It doesn't change what people think of what happened.
No, exactly.
And it won't. And
no.
By the way, as you can tell from cheers at a Celtics game, most people don't give a bleep.
I don't think anybody does, really. It's just this is a technicality now, right? Really, it's a technicality. I just don't want the video out. And I think they're going to prevent it from getting out. That's all. I think they have their ducks in line down there.
As we learned yesterday.
I mean, if this thing's going to trial next week, you think he's at the Celtics game? No, I don't.
As we learned yesterday, it is the normal procedure for the release of such tapes to be pixelated before they are released, by the way. That was learned.
I wouldn't feel good about that.
So the argument, what?
No. Because they're talking about releasing of tapes, pixelated or not. Okay.
Okay, well, but in previous cases such as these, you know, if there is nudity, if there are sexual acts involved, any of that, it is their policy to pixelate such videos before they go out. Yeah. So the argument that it is pornography, as was made in court the other day,
I don't really see anything.
I don't know if that's going to hold up if they're saying, well, no, it's a video, but it's all blurred out. It's all pixelated.
If you want to shock it all, you need to see the uncut video. That's what you need. Uncut, baby. It can't be pixelated. If you're going to put it out, you can't pixelate it.
Who?
I'm just saying. If you're going to get a pixelated video, everybody's going to be like, I didn't really see anything. What's a big deal? He didn't do anything. That's what you're going to get out of this. We're going to take calls.
You don't think that a pixelated video would be damaging?
I don't. Do you?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I think it would not be a great look.
No, it has to be because we were talking about this the other day in the back room. I always picture when surveillance video comes out, it's going to be like night vision or black and white.
All right.
This could be like crystal clear, like HD video. We have no idea.
Jim,
I understand what you're saying, but I think black and white ups the creep factor by a factor of three. Yeah.
Hernandez.
I think you would rather have this video be in high def. Full Technicolor, baby.
He's right.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Black and white creeps it out. You look at the Hernandez video, you look at the Tiger Woods being pulled over and cuffed.
You make a black and white mugshot.
That switch.
OJ's mugshot, all of it.
8mm, now you're looking at something that looks like a snuff film. You're expecting
dirty.
Excuse me? Expect a machine to come out of the corner wearing a mask.
Guy from Machine?
No.
Hello,
no.
Fred.
Machine.
Machine.
8mm? You've never seen that? Nicolas Cage?
No.
Oh, that'll haunt you.
So if you're hoping for some weekend viewing of the Robert Kraft tape, it doesn't appear we're going to get that, at least until there's a hearing with a judge who rules on the matter, and that judge may rule to seal the evidence and not release it. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on everything from the day, including the Bruins and Celtics both winning last night, and the Red Sox, who once again found a way to lose.
I lose.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Thursday. Yesterday was so nice, so it's so crappy out there today.
Well, I guess tomorrow's going to be so nice. Jim Loft wants to do a rock, Yacht Rock Friday.
Oh, a little Yacht Rock in the house tomorrow, maybe.
I'm trying to pre-plan things.
I like it. What's
your first song,
tomorrow?
Jim? What's your first song tomorrow, Jim? Come on,
you're right. We should just wing it. Show up at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Just wing it.
Ooh, I think that's a shot. That's a shot the right bow. There. Hello.
Keep insulting me. Look at him trying to pre-plan things, that producer.
Yeah, damn him. Let's go to Chris is in the car. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's Chris. Up?
So,
Chris, you want to hear Yacht Rock Friday tomorrow?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, cool.
He's in.
He's in. There's a vote.
I'm in. Good. I'm easy.
Nice.
I'm easy.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm born and raised in this area. I'm 53 years old, so you know I've been following sports my whole life. We're so spoiled now. We never were before. It's April. I mean, and we're writing the socks off. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't think anybody's writing them off.
I don't think I'm not writing them off.
Well, I heard Maserati talking. It definitely sounded like he is. To me, it sounds like, you know, we're looking at this team in April, and we saw what they did last year, and because they're coming out slow, obviously.
Slow? What do they do well right now? What's the one thing that they do well?
Nothing. I agree. I'm not agreeing. But what I'm saying is it's April. I'd rather do this in April. I've seen it happen in June, July, and August, which is real bad.
So you would rather us just sit here and watch, say not much about these games?
No. I know you got a show to do. I get it. But when I hear things like, you know, 100 losses, and you reneged on that, you went back. I said, they're not going to lose 100 games. But then the next sentence was, well, if he doesn't make the playoffs next year, then he'll get fired. Like they're not going to make it this year. It's just such a long season baseball is. And what I'm seeing right now, sales hit 96 the other day. You hadn't seen that even at the end of last year. That's a good sign, right?
It's a great sign. I mean, everything's going so well.
Chris, do you think the starting pitching's starting to come around a little bit?
Absolutely. Now we're talking about the bullpen's going to be what it's going to be, right? Here we go. They're going to hit. Mookie's not going to do this all year. They're going to hit. It's April. They're going to hit. This team's too good. I think the thing is they won 108 games last year and won the World Series, and we're looking at that. And then we're seeing what they've come out like and say, what the hell happened? Let's give this time. That's why I don't get into it too much in April. I mean, I follow it, but I don't put too much stock in what's going on. This thing gets underway in June.
Well, I think, to really be honest, I mean, the way they got out of the gate last year, the 18-2 start and how much everybody was giddy, it's only fair to look at what did they do through the first 20 games this year. See, I think traditionally we get them to what? Memorial Day? Sort of the first real checkpoint heading into June. What state of the baseball team? How many games will be up or out? Right?
All I'm saying on the bullpen, because that's the one point I do want to hit on from what he's talking about there. The bullpen last year was a top 10 in the majors bullpen in bullpen ERA. And I'm not sure the Red Sox are capable of repeating that this year. Is that crazy to say that? That's what I want to know. Right now they're 22nd in the majors in bullpen ERA. I would be surprised if they're top 10 again. I have real questions about that bullpen. And they don't have a closer. They have Matt Barnes, but it doesn't feel like they're treating him like the full-time closer based on how they've used him in some games where he was not in a save situation. Mark in Medford on the Bruins. Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
guys?
What's up there, Mark?
So last night, the guys that were supposed to do their job last night did their job. Pastrnak pops 2 in, and Bergeron and Marchand combined for 4 points, okay? But with that being said, you got Columbus, who shocked the hockey world. It's going to be sitting there for over a week if this series goes 7 games, okay? I don't think that bodes well for Columbus because the Bruins, if they win this series, they're going to go in, two nights later for game one, and they're going to have all the momentum on their side, and I think they would take game one of this series. But more importantly, guys, mm-hmm. Here's a little tidbit. If Calgary loses tomorrow night and the Bruins advance, they now have home ice throughout the duration of the playoffs, including the Stanley Cup Finals.
So what's the bad news there?
There is no bad news.
Oh, okay. Did anyone else think it was being presented as bad news? I'm like, wait, what's the bad part there? That's excellent.
Well, I just think you've got Malkin, Crosby, Stamkos, knocked out, swept, and it's... Of all years, it's there for you. Just want to sit back next week and say, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Boy, if we'd have just come out of the gate better in Game 3. If we could have just got Game 3, we would have come back to Boston 3-1 and closed it out.
So last, last night felt like a must-win. I feel that.
Did they answer the bell? Yes.
That they needed to answer, and they needed to get a win because going down 3-1 is never advised. Doesn't Game 5 have a pretty significant
they're
in the sense that they're home?
Yeah.
And you've got to now take advantage of the fact that you're home.
Last thing you want to do is go to Toronto down 3-2. You don't want that. You want to go to Toronto up 3-2.
I just would also like to see
them, at least you got another one at home if you slip there.
I'd like to see them break the trend of win one, lose one. Yeah, that too. Snap that.
It's kind of a back and forth right now. Mm.
Do you have any more confidence about, let's just say, Friday night's game? And we knew this last night was going to be played, regardless of what happened. Do you have any more confidence in a Bruins win, realistically, right now, at this moment, after what happened last night? Or do you feel about the same?
I feel about the same.
I feel about the same, too. How weird is that? After they pick up that win last night, and they do so with the top line...
I feel better.
Do you know why? And with... Because
I know why. I think that.
That's why. Because you believe Toronto's not going to go away.
Right.
And you feel differently about Toronto.
They didn't go away last night when they were getting beat up on home ice when they were down 3 goals.
Listen, I know the series went deep last year, but did you feel like Toronto was a team that the Bruins should really fear a year ago?
No,
we never felt that way. I feel like they're a better team and you have more faith in Toronto to stay in this thing than even you did a year ago when they did stick in it.
They're a good team on paper. They're a good team on paper. They are.
And the more I watch it, the more I question why I wasn't more worried about this team. I mean, it was a long series.
Because
last
in the regular season, the Bruins had their way with Toronto.
Four games already, and you got to sit there and wait for that Ty Anderson article to come out where I got to read that 15 times before Friday night and convince myself Tuukka stole one last night. The goalie hasn't stolen any games yet.
Well, let's talk about that and get to more of your calls in 90 seconds.
I like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.